Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It's a minute past 6 p.m. here on the East Coast. That means it's a minute past 5 p.m. in Missouri, if you say it like that. So did he or didn't he? Did Todd Akin drop out? Any word? Anybody? Chat room? Hey, Jug of Punch, hey, Sparky. Have we had? I'm assuming that if anybody's tuned into CSN, Fox, BC, or CBS, or ABC, or any of the rest of the for-profit alphabet soup, there'll be a crawler that says either yes, he did, or no, he didn't. Because 5 o'clock today, Missouri time, was the drop-dead date for Todd Akin to get out of the race. And he was making very refusy noises earlier in the day. You know, last night, Michael wrote in, and he said, Akin literally said, I'm not a quitter. This was in an email. This was in an email titled, Hammer Time. Akin literally said, I'm not a quitter. Michael replied, so I said, what? Too legit? But by this evening, Michael had noted even Mitt Romney is asking Todd legitimate rape Akin to pull out. But he refuses to pull out. So, regarding the damage Akin is doing to the GOP, does his refusal to pull out make it legitimate or forcible? Jack in Shreveport and Jim, one county over, both confirming, no, he did not. He's still, that's from Jim. Jack saying, he's still in as far as I know. Good. Not because I want him to go to the Senate, because I want Paul Ryan to wear him. I want him to wear it like a skunk stole around his neck for the rest of this election period, because I'm just, you know, that way. No, I'm not a Democratic partisan. I spend most of my time being differently disgusted from the Democrats as I am from the Republicans. But I want America to get a good, long, hard, okay, good, in-depth, no, a good, broad, no, a good, serious, profound understanding of what it is these godforsaken fundamentalists want to do to America. And that in order to do it to America, they must first do it to America's women. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com. We call what we do here conversation radio. What you just heard is the beginning of what will probably wind up being a filibobster. That being the case, I should note that the Horn is entirely independent. You will hear no ads here for Buy Gold Now or for vacuum cleaners that can pick up bowling balls off of Swedish mattresses that were first tested by NASA in space. None of that. None of that here. Just commentary, conversation, and a pretty well-defined line between what is commentary and what is fact. We do try to be fact-based here. And this is, of course, Titanic Tuesday, so named for the monumental brains of a local right-winger not too awfully far from me, who explained that there are fossils under the ground in the rock strata of West Virginia because of the movement of Titanic plates. Oh, really? So that's why it's Titanic Tuesday. We had Moran Monday, and we had prayer meeting Wednesday, and we had Thorn in the Side Thursday, and even Friday on the front porch, but we were at a loss for what to call Tuesday. Poor little Tuesday stumbled along for years on end without a proper name, but we now have it, thanks to Jim. Titanic Tuesday. And with any luck at all, if there is any sort of justice in the universe, this present crop of repiglickens who aim to disassemble the United States piece by piece, keeping all of the constituent parts for themselves, mind you, will also sink in a couple of miles of unreachable depth. There will be far more justice in that than in what happened a little more than 100 years ago, you know, this past April. The Horn is available in a wide variety of listening platforms. I've become particularly fond of TuneIn Radio. It's easily accessible on either your PC or your smartphone. With TuneIn Radio, you can take the Horn with you wherever you wish, and we're awfully glad to be listed with them. You can also find us at Stitcher Radio and Tuner Internet Radio. And I don't know, maybe, sort of. We're still waiting on a report back from Patty on her experiences asking about the disappearance of the Horn from iTunes Radio. Don't know. Just don't know. But it's all there, and there's never a bill. There is never a bill. We will get into some background and fallout and follow-up from Rapegate. Is that what we're calling it now, Rapegate? In a little bit, but I thought I would share some comments with you. First of all, I was very happy to note that last night's matching fundraiser hosted by Adam was successful. Adam wrote back earlier today, said, just finished up the podcast for last night and I'm very pleased that people came through in the final stretch. My $100 contribution's been sent. We'll try to do this again sometime in the coming months. Thanks, Adam. And then he said, give the right wing credit where credit is due. They understand the value of funding the channels of communication. Rich liberals apparently don't, even after 20 years of getting shellacked in the media game. Sad, says Adam. Oh, well, happy to help the Horn. And grateful we are. I'll go ahead and note that because of what happened last night, we have almost, for the first time in months, drawn even with where we should be two-thirds of the way through. We're about $75. 73 bucks away from exactly the two-thirds mark, which is right about today. Yeah, right about today. Math, you know, me and that. But that means that we've got about 10 days to raise another $900, and we will draw even. I mentioned that for a reason. I kind of conjured our buddy Scott in Sweden. He wrote earlier today, hey, Bobbery Bob. No, I don't know more about Julian Assange than what can be found at Legal Schnauzer. You know, we were talking about the dealing, the Sweden connection and everything last night. Scott says, the news media here give the whole thing very little coverage. Evidently because of all the embarrassment involved, should something really be stinky poo. And I have little doubt the press here is under similar pressure to play ball with the powerful. Most people here think that something is really screwed up about the case, but it doesn't look like there will be much citizen involvement until that day that if and when Assange ends up here, and then there may be reaction, even if we would prefer preventative action. But the Swedish media have kept reporting on Assange to a minimum. There are currently very low expectations about the Swedish police and Justice Department. Swedes do not want to believe that Assange would be turned over to the U.S., that Sweden is an independent nation in foreign affairs. But the golden age of Swedish independence under Olof Palme are decades past. The Swedish police and prosecuting attorneys totally messed up the Palme assassination, and it became sort of a gallows humor laughingstock that destroyed its credibility. There have been several other large, well-known cases with similar prosecutorial incompetence, the latest being the possible revelation that a man by the name of Thomas Quick, who has been convicted of 8 murders and has confessed 25 more, turns out to have been an insane man who, as soon as any murder occurred in the country, went to the library and read everything in the newspapers to learn all the details about the victims and then started confessing to all of these murders, and the police took him at his word. In other words, prosecutorial incompetence of the highest order. Man. But it happens. It happens. Then there are the usual cases of corporate or political higher-ups, either on the take or simply screw-ups. The courts eventually wind up with a verdict of crimes were committed, but no one individual could be held responsible. Way too many elites seem to get away with things when push comes to shove. And Swedish people know it. We almost expect it. Now that I think about it, this sort of letting the guilty go free occurred in several rape and murder cases in which no perpetrator actually confessed and everyone pointed the finger at everyone else. The technical evidence was not sufficient to nail any one individual and the whole lot of them were free to as a result. And then there was the case of Sweden extraditing persons to some Middle Eastern puppet state of the U.S. for torture in 2001. That one really hurt Swedish pride. We puppets of the U.S. Ush. So, as concerns Julian Assange, the more conservative press here has consistently painted him as a sleazebag who deserves what he gets, while the liberal press defends him. But I've seen very little discussion at all about what comes next. It is almost understood that the legal system will screw up the case and that the current conservative government is sort of America's poodle, but no one wants to face the fact that Assange might actually be extradited here and then passed on to the U.S. It is as if people feel they can close their eyes and it might go away. Of course, there is a lively community that is more knowledgeable about what is going on, but the newspaper we subscribe to at best has a few editorials now and then on the issue, but it's not a heavy topic of discussion. I'm somewhat guilty of focusing my time on what is going on in the U.S. and not giving enough time to what is happening under my own nose. Ouch. On another topic, the AIC Act. Thank you, Scott. Thank you for bringing up the AIC Act. It's H.R. 5959. It is the only bill in Congress that would actually end Appalachia's agony of mountaintop removal. That's me editorializing. Scott says, I just called the Sierra Club Legislative Office to ask why I have yet to see a petition or call for the Sierra Club members to call their Congress critters to sign on as original sponsors. So here's my request of my fellow hornies. We all surely get pleas for action, for one sort of a petition or action all in a good cause, and I sign quite a few of these daily. So, Scott asks, why don't all of us at the Horn go to the websites of those who have sent us the most requests for our help and ask them to help in return. Let them know about the AIC Act. Let them know about the need for co-sponsors and just push for it. I've sent the Sierra Club a couple of emails in the last couple of months and now I called and y'all can call too. Getting them on board would be great, so let's become the squeaky wheel. There are certainly more similar organizations who are natural allies who request stuff from us all the time. And Scott adds a P.S. The Beat the Swede challenge is still on at an extra $100 if we fully subscribe a month. So that if we can make that $900 I was talking about a few minutes ago, it becomes $1,000. Like that. Thanks to the Beat the Swede challenge. And I've never been involved in a Swede beating, but there's no time like the present. Let me go back and make one thing clear. The Sierra Club did endorse the AIC Act. What they have not done is put on any kind of a push to add to its strength. And action by the Sierra Club would be very significant. They've also not funded. And as one of the big greens sitting on literally millions upon tens of millions of dollars, they're the ones who have the most ability to make it a little bit easier for the AIC team and the AIC campaign to get the work done. So, Scott also closes off. Did we meet Adam's challenge? Tell him I just put us over the top today, namely the same day that I heard the Monday podcast. Since your show comes on at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, which is midnight here, technically the very next day, I claim the right to call the day beginning at midnight an extension of the same day as the podcast up until such time as the next podcast lands in my inbox, right? Right. Exactly. So, it's always good to hear from Scott in Sweden, and I imagine that having been tweaked, as it were, he might keep a little closer eye on the Swedish response to the whole Assange debacle as it unfolds. But I love what he did, and I love the activism that you are all engaging in the name of the AIC Act. It's huge. And the more pressure we apply, the greater the likelihood of our success. And let me do add, you know, one call may not get it done, and one call doesn't mean we're done. It takes persistence. It takes a great deal of persistence. And so you call 1 week, and you call back a week later and say, by the way, has Representative Thumbfingers signed on to the AIC Act? No? Well, why not? We're serious about this. This is a deal breaker in November. Got to see the signature. And 3 weeks later, and until it happens, that is the persistence that we need. Let's see. Marty noting that he's still working on iTunes Radio, too. So thank you, Marty. Now, a couple of things. Well, no. Let's see. Do we walk right into the Aiken Swamp, or do we take care of some other business? Let's go right into the Aiken Swamp, because that's the way we closed out last night. And I want to follow up with at least a note of some confirmation of what I said last night. I said that this is not an isolated event that is related only to the lunacy of Todd Aiken. This is right-wing policy. It really is. This is how the vast majority of the right wing think when it comes to women's reproductive rights. And I know it may come as somewhat of a surprise, but I actually spend a lot of time trying to figure out how they get from point A to point Norblap. Because that's where they wind up. They start out with point A in the alphabet many of us work with, and they wind up in an alphabet that none of us even know about. Jesus. And I got to thinking about the idea, because, again, this thing has legs. Not just legs going forward, but legs going backwards. It's kind of a split. And the legs backward, well, in that is the question of where do ideas of women, apparently the propensity of women to simply make up rape stories, where does that come from? And the first thing that popped into my mind was that maybe it comes from their own religion. Maybe there's just a little bit, just a grain of skepticism about that teenager, that Palestinian teenager 2,000 years ago, the one who was betrothed to be married to Joseph, a day laborer, a technon. It's not translated as carpenter. It means day laborer. You know, kind of like the dudes at Home Depot. But she was betrothed and espoused and lots of other Elizabethan words to be married to Joseph. And one day popped up and said, by the way, God did me last night. Now, let's also remember, and I will defer to Texas Betsy, our Hebrew language scholar here, but it has always been my understanding, ever since I started understanding this kind of thing, that the word that is rendered into, that was rendered into Greek and rendered into Latin and rendered into English and Dutch and, you know, where we eventually wound up with the King James Bible, that the word that was taken as meaning female who has not had sexual intercourse, you know, to wit, virgin, is equally translatable as young girl. It would be as if by saying in French, la jeune fille, which is just terrible pronunciation, but, you know, that meant female who has never had sex. Which it doesn't. Doesn't mean virgin. And that, you know, maybe these fundies are, maybe it was one last fling before she had to get married to Joseph. And you know, it happened all the time. There were all kinds of virgin births all over the ancient world. No, God did me. Because if we are to believe the New Testament, she had her cousin Elizabeth to fall back on because, you know, God had a hand in the conception of John the Baptist because, isn't that curious the way the Almighty works? Elizabeth was what, too old to conceive or whatever, and Elizabeth's husband, who was some sort of a priest, was really too old to get it on. And so God got Elizabeth pregnant, and then to prove a point, because God proves points rather strangely, God struck her husband dumb until the birth of the child, you know, so he couldn't say anything. That's Atne Avhe Imhe Aukingte. It could make Ubble Tray. So I wonder if maybe that was part of it. But then I got to thinking about the fact that the right wing is forever taking the wrong message away from popular culture. Because they really do believe that virgins have babies, and you know, parthenogenesis. And, right, parthenogenesis, in Greek means virgin. Athena Parthenos, the Parthenon, the building of the virgin. Right. So, like I said, I got to thinking about it, and yes, it's a function of my mind, but I can also easily imagine these right-wingers taking something like this and getting it completely wrong. What am I talking about? I'm talking about this.
Is this the man who raped you?
Oh, certainly is. I don't know how. He done it. He just done it.
You have testified that he choked you and he beat you. You didn't say that he sneaked up behind you and knocked you out cold, but that you turned around and there he was. You want to tell us what really happened?
I got something to say. And then I ain't gonna say no more. He took advantage of me. And if you find fancy gentlemen ain't gonna do nothing about it, then you're just a bunch of lousy, yellow, stinking cowards. The whole bunch of you. And your fancy ass don't come to nothing. Your mammon and your Miss May Ellen, it don't come to nothing, Mr. Finch.
Most of you recognize that scene. That's the culmination of the trial of Tom Robinson, falsely accused of rape in To Kill a Mockingbird. The older, now I love that book, but the older I get, the more troubling that book becomes. Shortly thereafter, it is followed by Atticus's closing argument, in which he says this.
I have nothing but pity in my heart for the chief witness for the state. She is the victim of cruel poverty and ignorance. But my pity does not extend so far as to her putting a man's life at stake, which she has done in an effort to get rid of her own guilt. Now, I say guilt, gentlemen, because it was guilt that motivated her. She's committed no crime. She has merely broken a rigid and time-honored code of our society.
It goes on. But I think the point is there. And the point is this. One, let me note off the bat that I've done a good bit of reading about the book and the movie, and there are decidedly different responses to it in the so-called white community and the black community. In the white community, To Kill a Mockingbird is viewed as a sort of a cleansing exercise. Whereas a lot of the writing that I've read about it in the black community says it's bullshit, it's still going on, and it didn't cleanse anything. And here's my point. I think they're right. Because that book confronted people, and the film, God knows the film. It turns out that Peter O'Toole lost his first Academy Award nomination that year for the brilliant performance he delivered in Lawrence of Arabia to Gregory Peck, if memory serves me correctly. But there is a deeper truth here. The story is one, of course, as many of us know, most of you know, of the unjust prosecution and ultimately the horrible death of a black man falsely accused, very obviously falsely accused, of raping a white woman. It draws in all manner of Southern social code developed over the course of centuries. Things like the pernicious unwritten eyeball law, in which a person of color was not allowed to look a white person in the eye, or the unwritten step-off code, in which a person of color would have to step off the sidewalk to allow whites to pass as they stood in the streets, or perhaps the gutters. This is our history and this is our legacy. I've joked from time to time that, for instance, the right wing have watched Dr. Strangelove or perhaps read Catch-22 and not taken them for the sardonic dark humor that they are, but rather thinking that they were procedural manuals. In the time that I've been thinking about the Todd Akin business, I've realized that this is the best example yet. I'll bet you that fine, upstanding Christian that he is, Todd Akin could just about tell you scene by scene, chapter by chapter, what happens in To Kill a Mockingbird. So too, I'll warrant, could a number of other Republicans. Maybe I'm wrong. This is, after all, speculative. But here's the point. These dumbass, incredibly bigoted, swamped in prejudice white folks saw To Kill a Mockingbird, and they didn't see a story about the overarching details of a repressive and oppressive white Southern culture and its very judicial system being used to persecute and torment an innocent man of color. Oh, hell no! They saw it as being a story about another woman lying about a rape on another innocent man. You see my point? They get everything wrong. If even a stopped clock is right twice a day, repiglickens and conservatives and teabaggers and that whole filthy ilk are generally a stopped clock whose hands have been removed and therefore can never be right. Rather than seeing something like this as a cautionary tale about racial prejudice and bigotry, they instead opt for misogyny. The story of Republican conservative teabagging hate is a story of constantly shifting hatreds, in which they must move like a herd that moves from a consumed field to one fresh with sustenance. For about a generation, it was made intolerable for them to manifest the overt nature of their racism. Now, with things like the Ohio politician who said, well, we don't want to make voting convenient for blacks, to Rick Santorum and his blah people comment, and a host of other stories in between. It's back. It's on the rise. But in the intervening years, the right wing were forced to find other forage. And now they feast upon Muslims. And with their fangs dripping wet, they feast upon gay people. And slathering like the zombie-eyed monsters that they are, thank you, Charles Pierce, more on that later, they feast upon women. And they rely upon their faith. No, this is not Wednesday night prayer meeting. No. I got stuff tucked away for that. They feast upon women. And they do so with the zeal of the recently converted. Right-wingers who hear of a rape, and by the way, I saw confirmation today that Todd Akin has a daughter, or daughters, and don't you think for one damned minute, if that horror visited itself upon his family, that, no, he wouldn't look at her and say, well, honey, wasn't that dress a little bit short? Or wasn't the tatas up there a little too much on display? I mean, you know, don't you think maybe you were asking for it a little bit? You're not making this up now, are you, sugar? No, hell no. He wouldn't ask that. He'd be, get a rope in the name of Jesus, get a rope. And you know it's true, and I know it's true. But that sick man has a wife and daughters. Sicker still, they probably agree with him because they've been steeped, dipped by the heel in the ugliness of a religion of peace that says, wives, be silent in church, for it is a shame that a woman would speak. And says, if a woman would have questions, let her ask her husband at home. And says, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, honey, I've told you how I feel about having rutabagas more than once every 2 weeks. Just come on over here and get over Daddy's knee. It exists. It is patently real. Painfully real. I had a story from Tim in L.A., via Facebook. Another Missouri Repiglican, this one a female, who has declared, and this via rawstory.com, has declared that women who get pregnant via rape do so because God has chosen to bless them with their rapist's baby. I have no enduring hopes for the for-profit media. I don't expect them to get this right. I don't expect them to absolutely shine a light. And how can they not? Women work in the for-profit media. But I don't expect them to get it right. I don't expect them to shine a light on this issue. I don't expect them to make it abundantly clear that this is something that infects that entire sick, twisted party. It's too much to expect. Too much indeed. Not understanding that universal law, the first law of holes, i.e. when you are in one, you're best off to stop digging. Todd Akin decided to explain himself. This is better than this may well be better than Larry Craig's wide stance explanation. I'm going to play the whole thing. It's about 76 seconds long. He went on Mike Huckabee's radio program to clarify what he meant about legitimate rape. This recording has been in no wise edited or messed with. I just want to make that clear.
What was it that you were trying to say? I mean, how do you think you should have answered that question that was on that local show?
What was it?
Okay, and just to be clear, this is Dana Loesch. Didn't she used to be with CNN? Well, now she and her husband are big-time right-wing media people who don't do things like say, you know, please, can we get $100 in contributions tonight? No, they don't. No, these are the people that Adam was talking about that are funded out the gazoo just to fling feces all over the country. So do explain to Dana Loesch, Representative Akin, what it was you meant. Come on now.
It was a misplacing of that word legitimate. That was the problem, was particularly that one word. And, you know, Dr. Wilkie has just released a statement, and part of his letter, I think he just really stated it very clearly. He said, of course, Akin never used the word legitimate to refer to the rapist, but to false claims like those made in Roe versus Wade.
What, Edith?
Oh, yeah. You see, I wasn't using legitimate to describe the rapist. I was using it to describe the lying whore. You get the idea? That whole sin of Eve thing just hangs on and hangs on. And hangs on. Dr. Wilkie? What? Let's find out.
Rapist, but to false claims like those made in Roe versus Wade. And I think that simplifies it. And what I tried to do first off, Dana, was I knew people had been hurt because they had assumed or wanted to assume or by people who portrayed it this way that the legitimate referred to rapists. There is.
He put the word legitimate in front of rape. Nobody else did. But, you know, the people who assumed or wanted to think, so it's our fault. Do you understand the cult of personal responsibility there, the Republican Party, the GOP, the conservatives, the family values bunch, the teabaggers, want us to understand that it is our fault for not completely understanding what he, in the name of Jesus, was trying to explain to us.
Isn't any legitimate rapist. None whatsoever. They're horrible criminals. And I have no tolerance for them whatsoever. I have a wife and daughters. I have nothing, right. No respect, nothing. There's nothing.
Now, I know. Come on over. Come on. Bob, did you hear what he just said? Well, I've heard a lot, Doc. What do you? I think it would be educational for us to go back and listen to the way he describes his wife and daughters. Oh, okay, Dr. Freud.
Legitimate, and I have no tolerance for them whatsoever. I have a wife and daughters. I have nothing,
right.
No respect, nothing. There's nothing legitimate about her.
You hear that? You hear that? I have a wife and daughters. There's nothing legitimate. I have no respect. Well, Doc, I think you got a point. That is why you have me on retainer. True enough. I have a wife and daughters. I have no respect. Now, he goes on and adds a prepositional phrase. That does not matter. We are talking here about the functioning of his strange little amphibian mind. I don't even know if this man is capable of working up enough to get to the Oedipus complex. I think it's more of the crocodile complex. All right, Doc. Back to your cigar. I will.
Rape for them whatsoever. I have a wife and daughters. I have nothing,
right.
No respect, nothing. There's nothing legitimate about a rapist. But to rather, I was putting that in the wrong place, making the point.
Oh, Doc, I think you left too quick. What was it? You heard that? I think I put it in the wrong place. Oh, this guy is a field day. If I was still around, I could probably put a family of 12 through dental school on this guy alone. The therapy would take the rest of his life. I think you're right, Doc.
That there were people, none whatsoever. They're horrible criminals. And I have no tolerance for them whatsoever. I have a wife and daughters. I have nothing,
right.
No respect, nothing. There's nothing legitimate about a rapist. But to rather, I was putting that in the wrong place, making the point that there were people who use false claims like those that basically created Roe versus Wade.
The false what? Doc, is that what you call deflection? Transference? Exactly! You're learning. There may be hope for you yet. Isaac, with an email. Racist, rapist sperm doesn't work? Yeah, too bad that wasn't the case during slavery. Yeah, but think about it, Isaac. We wouldn't have any descendants of Thomas Jefferson left, now would we? Ron and Raleigh writing in, hey Bob, where are all the white women at? I'm sure you saw the Tufts University study that found that white people say that they are the principal victims of racism in America today. It, To Kill a Mockingbird, was less a cleansing but now more a brainwashing. I've seen more comments on a plethora of websites declaring the non-existence of racism toward people of color. The Aiken affair is part and parcel of this retrograde mindset. Ron and Raleigh. P.S. Got in here late. What did I miss? Oh, come on, Ron! But Ron raises a good point, because, again, this isn't... Todd Aiken is a one-man Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium, ODDITORIUM. He's a one-man freak show. He's a clown car that he just keeps coming out of one after another after another after another. Because you have to remember, Todd Aiken darling of the right-wing Republicans, including Paul Ryan, Todd Akin said, what, not a week ago maybe? Todd Akin said that it's time to overturn the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. He said that. Really and for truly, he said that. And you can only say that if you think that racism and bigotry and prejudice and night riders and lynching are entirely a thing of the past, and that the entire Confederacy can now be trusted just to do right by its communities of color. And all you need to do is look at Florida or Ohio or Pennsylvania. Because, see, it's spreading, not contracting. And you'll find out that, oh, hell no, the desire to remove the people from the franchise, to disenfranchise people, is not on the retreat, but on the march. It's a fact. Tim from L.A. noting, Bob, but rape is required according to the Bible, as mentioned in 1, murder, rape, and pillage at Jabesh-Gilead, Judges 21, 10 through 24. Murder, rape, and pillage of the Midianites, Numbers 31, 7 through 18. More murder, rape, and pillage, Deuteronomy 20, 10 through 14. The laws of rape, Deuteronomy 22, 28, and 29. If a man is caught in the act of raping a young woman who is not engaged, he must pay 50 pieces of silver to her father. Then he must marry the young woman because he violated her, and he will never be allowed to divorce her. 5. Death to the rape victim, Deuteronomy 22, 23, and 24. 6. Rape of female captives, Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 10 through 14. 7. Rape and the spoils of war, Judges 5, 30. 8. Sex slaves, Exodus 21, 7 through 11. 9. God assists rape and plunder, Zechariah 14, 1 and 2. Lo, a day shall come for the Lord when the spoils shall be divided in your midst, and I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem for battle. The city shall be taken, houses plundered, women ravished, read raped. Half of the city shall go into exile, but the rest of the people shall not be removed from the city. Zechariah 14, 1 and 2. Tim asking, what kind of lunatic would make a rape victim marry her attacker? Answer, God. With regard to Todd Akin's comment about, Michael writes, now, while he put it in the wrong place, he wasn't saying his wife and daughters are horrible criminals, did he? How many times did I play it? I'll leave that to you to decide. First law of holes. Because when you keep digging, it only gets deeper. Now, one other little something or another, and at first blush, I can understand why Alyssa Rosenberg over at Think Progress would think this way. It's an easy and kind of pleasant mistake. The headline says, Limbaugh dismantles Akin's junk science while competitor Huckabee guilts rape victims who have abortions. Okay, this should be interesting. Ms. Rosenberg writes, when Mike Huckabee's radio show debuted in April, one of the ways Cumulus Media positioned his entry into the market was as a classier
Huckabee.
Yeah, because this is the guy who did such a good job raising his son that his son was caught lynching and beating a dog to death. No, really. A classier alternative to Rush Limbaugh. Oh, don't worry about that whole dog thing. Both Huckabee and his son have been forgiven by Jesus, so it's all done. Never mind. At the time, Limbaugh was in the midst of a controversy over his nasty attacks on then Georgetown law student Sandra Fluck, who he'd attacked for her testimony on coverage of contraception. We all remember that. Ms. Rosenberg says, as I noted at the time, Cumulus Media's seized that opportunity, telling stations that don't have Limbaugh now and that might choose not to re-up their contracts to carry him in the future, that in Huckabee, they've got a better alternative. The company's distributed a list of 31 advertisers who have asked that their spots not be affiliated with any Limbaugh-related programming, and they're pitching Huckabee's show by telling stations it'll offer more conversation, less confrontation. Yeah, okay. The day that Huckabee turns into conversation radio, well, that's the day I become, I don't know, that's the day I get vested with the Newton chair in physics, okay? But she continues and says, so there's something rather astonishing about watching Limbaugh be more reasonable on a women's health issue than Huckabee, as has been the case as both men have covered Representative Todd Akin's deplorable remarks about whether women can get pregnant as the result of rape. You see, if you go back to the clip there with Dana Loesch, what you find out is that Todd still doesn't understand. He thinks it's about his use of the word legitimate. He doesn't realize that it's this whole concept of vagina as snapping turtle that is just driving people to distraction and sucking all the air out of talk radio. But anyway, in the midst of peddling, Ms. Rosenberg writes, in the midst of peddling conspiracy theories about poll sampling and nailing down his pro-life bona fides, Limbaugh made a fairly good point, on his show today, that comments like Akin's are the result, here we go, pay attention, this is how they get away with it. This is how they plan to get away with it. Because no idea comes out on Limbaugh's program that has not been prepackaged, prefabbed, pre-digested, and re-regurgitated onto a credulous, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, ditto-freak followership. Limbaugh made a fairly good point on his show today that comments like Akin's are the result of a closed community reaching for any arguments they can make, no matter how specious, to convince listeners to their position. Now I'm not going to make you listen to the audio. You can thank me later. So they sit around I didn't say I wasn't going to do the voice. So they sit around amongst themselves. I'm not being critical of them. They misunderstand my choice of words or tone. And they try to think of ways to persuade other people who agree with them. So Akin goes on TV with Charles Jaco, which is a mistake number one, but he goes on with Charles Jaco on local St. Louis TV. And this can be presumed that I guess Charles Jaco is a member of the liberal media. I don't know. And this whole business of a woman's body shuts down in rape, there's no evidence for that. But this is the kind of thing that people who do nothing but talk amongst themselves will conjure up, a belief system like that, and they'll grab onto anything they can to support what their empirical belief is because their ultimate aim is to save life. Bullshit, 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 and bullshit. Their ultimate aim is to protect the baby, what I just said. No matter what circumstance the conception occurs in. Well, it ain't going to occur in any situations you're in, Rush, but yeah, because you got your wife in a pit and everything. And I think that's just who the guy is. I mean, we don't want another generation of children with polandial cysts on their ass now, do we? And I think that's... Oh, I'll get notes for that. And I think that's just who the guy is. But he doesn't know how to explain it. He has no clue how to make his case for it. And so he hangs around people who are like-minded and they've devised this belief. He's not the first guy to say this. I've had people tell me that a woman's body shuts down in rape. There's no evidence for this. I mean, it's... How would you know, Rush? There's no evidence for this. I mean, it's absolutely... Can you imagine Rush taking a biology class? I mean, honestly. There's no evidence for this. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. This leads to the second problem. This is absurd. That belief that a woman's body shuts down and the whole notion of legitimate, illegitimate rape. That's the thing that bothers me about it. That's just absurd. It's not intelligent. Of course, having Flush Flimball, the oxymoron, declare what is and isn't intelligent is like, having a pedophile priest talk about what is and isn't good parenting. You get my meaning. But here's my complaint with this analysis that somehow Limbaugh has become the reasonable voice in this discussion. One, it is a carefully calculated and crafted placement of a position designed for the sales folks from Bain Capital-owned premier radio networks. See, he's normal again. We got him off the junk. You want to buy some ads? Come on. No, really. The Limbaugh audience loves to buy those vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls and drop them on Swedish mattresses that were first tested by NASA in space. Buy gold now, damn it! That's what this is about. Secondly, this is about Flush Flimball obfuscating the reality of the Republican Party. He acts as if there's this little weird cadre of fundies who just sit off in the corner of Republican gatherings flinging poo at one another and a turd sort of wings out into the general normal Republican audience periodically. Bullshit on that, too. Nothing could be further from the truth. The whole Republican Party is this way. Last night, I brought it forward. Tonight, we've talked about it some more. God has chosen to bless the woman who was given a baby from her rape. At least then she'll have something to love out of that horrible, horrible moment that she probably enjoyed a little bit. I mean, after all, she couldn't have a baby if she hadn't had an orgasm now, could she? No, see, I'm adding all of that. That's the 13th century baloney science that these clowns are relying on. But the whole Republican Party is like this. I mean, there might be two or three, but those are the isolated little cadres in the corner. There's no room. Jesus Christ! They endorsed a platform plank in the Republican National Party platform today that calls for the absolute abolition of abortion without regard to cases of incest, health of the mother, or rape. They did that today. So, Flush, it don't wash. No, hell no. This is the mainstream Republican Party. Okay? It really is. Ron in Raleigh writing, thank you, Dr. Limbaugh, for clearing this up. I feel much better now. Graduate of the EIB School of Pediatrics. The damage control is underway. And there's one last thing that probably needs to be pointed out. And that's this. Well, I don't know. Maybe I've gone too long and too far. We'll get to more. But we do need to take a break. It's Tuesday. That means we have the Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen, and I didn't get to play it last week, and I always miss it when we don't have it. But there are... It really is the reality of the... right wing in the Republican Party. if they can defeat women, as I noted, if they can defeat the rights of women and resubjugate them, then everything else is gravy. The environment, no-brainer. Labor, it's already half defeated anyway. Same thing largely goes for the environment. But this is the battle. This is the struggle. This is the reality. There is so much to be discussed. I mean, I'm not stunned that Rush Limbaugh is a liar. I know that. But God Almighty, this is evidence of real focus group, smoke-filled room strategy session work. And he actually put it out there at the same time that they were passing the abortion plank in the Republican National Party platform. Alongside, I might add, opposition to a platform plank that would have struck down the Republican Party's support for the Defense of Marriage Act. That charge was led by Kris Kobach, the Attorney General of Kansas, who is indirectly or directly responsible for so much of the hate that seethes and oozes across this country today. Listen to him.
Mr. Kobach.
Yeah. Kris Kobach from Kansas. I think I oppose this amendment. I think the wording is too broad, especially the last sentence. Our government routinely judges situations where you might regard people completely affecting themselves, like, for example, the use of controlled substances, like, for example, polygamy that is voluntarily entered into. We condemn those activities even though they're not hurting other people, at least directly. So this is worded way too broadly for inclusion in the platform.
Yeah, he really did. Kris Kobach compared gay people to polygamists and drug users. But no, that's not the Republican Party. I guess that's just another group that's sitting around talking to themselves, too. Right? Flush. On and on it goes. Without let up. Without respite. And most disturbingly, without us fully understanding what it is they're doing. And with a for-profit media out there that is unwilling to do the damned work. That's a bitter, bitter pill indeed. So we will take a break and come back. The lines are open, and your thoughts are always welcome. You know that. The number is 877-443-2366. That's toll free. If you want to save us the freight on the toll charges, you can direct dial 304-658-3333 if you have some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing plan. Don't be shy about using the toll-free. I mean, that's what it's there for. But either way, it's fine. Email comes in to Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is Conversation Radio, and it happens because of you. $90 or thereabouts. Okay. Make me do a math again. So 66 and 73 bucks, actually. And we've made it to the three-week mark. Wouldn't that be cool? Buttons at headonradionetwork.com. We'll be back. I'm Bob Kincaid. Nope, wrong song. Try again. There we go.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, August 21, 2012.
This has been a very busy year so far, going from one fire to the other.
It's official. Worst fire season ever.
The female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down.
Congressman Todd Akin, one of many anti-science Republicans on the U.S. House Science Committee. More industrial farming animal abuse. China ventures into the Arctic. Plus, brain-eating amoebas in Oklahoma.
Sounds delicious. All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
During a speech a few months ago, Governor Romney even explained his energy policy this way. I'm quoting here. You can't drive a car with a windmill on it. I don't know if he's actually tried that. I know he's had other things on his car.
Well, meow, Mr. President. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, before we get started today, some business welcoming aboard a few new affiliate partners. The Shannon Moore Show joins the Green News Report, as heard on Fox News Talk Radio, KOAN AM 1020 and 95.5 FM in Anchorage, Alaska. Yes, you heard me right. Fox News Radio. Glad to have them aboard.
Awesome.
And also heard on We Act Radio, WPWC, 1480 AM in Washington, D.C. That's right. The Green News Report is now heard in our nation's capital.
About time, you might say.
I agree. What do you have for us today, Des?
Well, you've probably heard about the controversial comments about rape made by Representative Todd Akin, a Missouri Republican from the House of Representatives, who's now locked in a tight campaign for Missouri's Senate seat against the incumbent conservative Democrat Claire McCaskill.
No, I hadn't heard about him. What did he say?
Well, essentially, Akin believes that there's some kind of secret spermicidal formula that women secretly contain that enables them to somehow prevent pregnancy from occurring if there is a rape, and of course that is complete and utter bunk. Akin is a Tea Party Republican who's also a climate change denier who rejects the global scientific consensus that the Earth is warming and humans are primarily responsible.
So he believes in non-existent science, that women can stop themselves from being impregnated by using their awesome mind powers, and yet he doesn't believe in actual existing science telling us that the globe is warming at an alarming rate.
That's correct, and what's even worse is Akin is a member the House Committee on Science, which writes legislation and allocates federal funding for science and research. Federal regulators have shut down a California slaughterhouse after receiving yet another undercover video showing abuse and torture of sick animals. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Inspector General on Monday suspended operations at Central Meat Company in Hanford, California, after finding evidence of, quote, egregious, inhumane handling and treatment of livestock. The undercover video of abuse was released by the animal welfare group Compassion Over Killing. State legislatures in Iowa and Utah this year have passed legislation criminalizing the undercover videotaping of animal abuse.
Not criminalizing the abuse, but criminalizing the videotaping of the abuse?
That's correct.
Unbelievable.
It's official. July 2012 was the fourth warmest July on record for the entire planet. Now, in the U.S., July was the hottest month ever in U.S. history, but globally, so far, this July was only the fourth warmest ever recorded. The Arctic is also seeing that persistent heat causing near-record melting. Scientists at the U.S. National Snow and Ice Data Center say that satellite measurements so far this summer show that ice cover in the Arctic is now approaching the all-time record low set back in 2007. And that has several countries vying for access to the mineral and energy riches buried beneath the Arctic Ocean.
The race is on.
Indeed it is. For the first time ever, the Chinese have sent a ship into the Arctic Ocean, an icebreaker ship that they say is on a scientific expedition, and it has become the first Chinese ship to cross the now open Arctic Ocean. Thousands have been evacuated as wind-driven wildfires threaten rural towns across the Mountain West in California and Idaho. The relentless fire season is exhausting fire crews, says Daniel Berlant from the state agency Cal Fire.
We have over 1,400 firefighters this morning battling this fire. This has been a very busy year so far.
So can we connect the dots then between the record heat this summer, the record drought this summer, the record fires this summer? Can we connect all of those dots to global warming?
Yes, climate scientists have predicted an increase in the wildfire season, and now it is official. 2012 just broke the record for the biggest U.S. wildfire season ever. According to the National Interagency Fire Center on Monday, wildfires have burned a record amount of acreage in the U.S., nearly 7 million acres. Finally, the drought and heat waves this summer have another unpleasant side effect, brain-eating amoebas. Okay, they don't actually eat your brain, but state officials are warning Oklahoma residents to be careful when swimming in freshwater lakes and rivers due to a particular kind of amoeba that thrives in warm fresh water that causes a very particular kind of fatal encephalitis or swelling of the brain.
Ouch. For more on that story and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.com. .bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download us anytime on iTunes. You can listen to us on your smart device via Stitcher Radio. Follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report, and now even on Facebook. Head on over there and look up Green News Report. You'll find us. Please like us while you're there. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyne.
And this has been your Green News Report.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox.
And you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Sorry about that little double clutch artifact audio there. I've decided that, if at all humanly possible, the coming weekend, I guess I'm kind of serving notice here, that I may be yelling, to folks like John Fox and Lottie. This is going to be the wipe it and reload it and try to get the production computer back up to speed weekend. I'm going to try because it's driving me nuts. You hear it? Yeah, no, it's not. Stop. Thank you. Okay. Sometimes B-Rez gets a little, over-enthusiastic. Jesus! Very kind note coming in from Dr. John. Rock on, Bob. You're blowing my mind tonight. First that incredible To Kill a Mockingbird monologue, and then Warren Zevon at the break. Dear Lord, man, this is a show for the ages. So everybody mark this one down. We'll try to keep it that way. Lines are open, 877-443-2366 or 304-658-3333. Either way is fine by me. I am going to go to the phones in just a minute, but I want to make sure that I get something out there and don't let it fall by the wayside in the course of conversation. If you heard the June 29th story, or the June 29th show, or the half show that we got out before the Derecho hit, and the follow-up show as soon as we got back on the air, then you know that my southern sojourn included a trip to Selma, Alabama. And you know that I was just astonished to see the reverence that a miserable thug like Nathan Bedford Forrest is still held in down there. Well, lo and behold, I received a petition last night, and I know you were probably, many of you were moved in the same way I was when Mike Malloy was talking about the futility of these things, and some of them are, some of them aren't. You know, a petition, sign this petition and say that we love the Venezuelan Vestal Virgins. Okay, well, but what does it accomplish? There are those, and then there are the ones that actually are geared toward accomplishing something. And this is one of those. You can go to change.org/Selma. That's all. Change.org/Selma. I tweeted it last night, and I hope we can see a lot of, horn signatories there, because this is important. This is directed at city council. It is an attempt at having some democracy. You might recall the remarks from last night about the fact that this ain't one. It is democracy is something we struggle toward. Well, this petition at change.org/Selma was authored by someone I now consider to be a personal friend, someone that I met during my trip down to Selma, a magnificent activist, a profound speaker, and a damned good radio host. Her name is Malika Fortier. She's the author of this petition, the petition petitioning Selma City Council, Selma City Council, no more monuments to KKK hate. You might recall that I remarked that I was amazed to see when we crossed over the Edmund Pettus Bridge to see that there was a billboard bearing the visage of Nathan Bedford Forrest staring balefully down at the National Voting Rights Museum. No, really. It's just like creepy. Well, Malika Fortier writes at the petition, she says, I grew up in Selma. Now as a community organizer, I think often about the sacrifices of the people who lived here before me. I was outraged and ashamed to learn that Selma's city council is sitting idly by as a local neo-Confederate group expands a public monument to a founder of the Ku Klux Klan Nathan Bedford Forrest. Monuments celebrating violent racism and intolerance have no place in this country, let alone in a city like Selma, where the families of those attacked by the Klan still live. She ain't kidding. So there's a letter there that says that the Nathan Bedford Forrest Monument should be, the expansion of it should be stopped, and that it should be forthwith removed, I think I added the word forthwith, from public property. Public property, really. Change.org/Selma. Go there and sign it. It's my hope, I hope to have Malika on the program. My God, she's good. I was in a morning session down there, a meeting session, and I mean, she had the whole room on fire. It was really funny because I sat there listening to her thinking, man, I'd love to get this woman on the radio. She's got the goods. And then later that day, somebody said to me, hey, Bob, would you like to go over to a radio station here in Selma and talk about the AIC Act and about mountaintop removal in Appalachia? And I said, you bet I would. And I went over there, and lo and behold, there was Malika Fortier and her brilliant husband behind the mics at WBFZ-FM, Selma, Alabama. I tune into their stream once in a while just to hear the music and hear the program, too. I think they're on from, the 1 to 4 hour time. I think they're on from, like, noon to 3. WBFZ-FMradio.net. But go over and sign the petition, because this has real meaning. This means that the eyes, once again, and you know, the white power structure in Selma just hates to have the eyes of the nation on Selma, because it usually means that the white power structure has screwed up again. Which, interestingly, they're doing. Because see, they're all upset. The reason that billboard was there glaring down at the National Voting Rights Museum was because somebody done went and stole Nathan Bedford Forrest's bust from the cemetery. And his soul cannot rest. And there's a $20,000 reward out there if somebody will just please bring poor Nathan home. Right? Yeah. So go and sign, and help out. Cost you nothing. Easy to do. Quick. Simple. Yeah, you get it. However, I did have a communication from our buddy Horst, who is an expat living overseas, who said that as an overseas listener, he was unable to sign because they had some sort of IP sniffer or something going. He said they really do make it hard for expatriate Americans to participate in American process. So go over to change.org/Selma and help maybe stop a monument to miserable, disgusting hate. Okay? Cool. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
Cossack.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Still under the effects of the anesthetic, but I'm here.
What's the anesthetic for this time?
Doing some exploratory procedures. Didn't find anything horrible, so I'm happy.
Well, that's the good news. But still,
yeah,
fun.
Yeah. They always find a way of discommoding you.
Yeah. And they performed a radical coverageectomy on you today while they were at it, I'm sure.
Yeah. The very first thing after I signed my name in was to do an extraction on my wallet. So
Indeed. Well, I'm sorry I made you wait so long, but I had to get all that out of my system first. But I really appreciate you.
No problem.
Appreciate you jumping in. What's on the threat board tonight?
Well, first, about this idiot Aiken. And there is no other way of putting it.
No, that's succinct and to the point, yes.
You know, he is an idiot. I think he extrapolated from a finding that impregnation works best if a woman is comfortable, cared for, and involved, and so forth. That's true. The odds of impregnation are better. But the obverse is not true. First of all, there is no such damn thing as legitimate rape. Rape is rape, and by its very nature is illegitimate.
Yes, I mean, but there's a reason that they keep putting all of these adjectives in front of rape, because they fundamentally, Cossack, identify not with the victim but with the rapist. So forcible rape, legitimate rape, they're all cut from the same filthy cloth.
Correct. I mean, rape is rape, period. End of quotation. It ain't funny. Ain't funny, McGee. Yeah, it just isn't. I don't understand where he's coming from at all.
Well, but let's be clear about that. Where he's coming from is where the vast majority of the Repig-Lickin party is coming from.
Correct.
But there, you know, as Onward to Dystopia just pointed out to me, there's a lot of filth that underlies this. For instance, these rapes wouldn't occur if the women would just stay in the kitchen where they belong.
Yeah, right.
And that really does undergird, and I hesitate to use the word thinking, that undergirds this line of what is it, Cossack? It ain't reasoning, it's not thinking, it's not processing, this line of belief. That's about the dirtiest word I can use, belief.
Yeah. I mean, it is, the point is that what they're trying to get across, I guess, is the fact that, pregnancy rarely results from a rape. And if it does result, then she wanted it anyway, so it wasn't really rape.
Right, but that, you know, the odds of pregnancy occurring from sex are relatively low within the whole sexual universe. Now, you know, to a pair of teenagers who are doing it for the first time, and she gets pregnant, it probably doesn't seem that way.
Correct.
But it really is. I mean, spontaneous abortions, pregnancies not carried fully to term, abortion, you know, like Rick Santorum's wife had, an abortion. You know, there are a lot of reasons that pregnancies don't go all the way to term. So actually, for there to be a finding, and there is a finding, that in the United States, rape victims conceive about 5% of the time as a result of rape, yielding about 32,000 rape births per year, is a pretty damn stunning number, isn't it?
I think so. In my universe, it is. But I have known people, friends of mine, that have gotten pregnant on birth control. That can happen. It's not the normal course of events.
Well, consider this. Now, these are the words of Mike Huckstaby, okay? Now, and he's a filthy swine who is just a little bit north of Brian J. Fisher. I'm sure they're like ether huffing buddies or something.
Yeah.
But this is the way he addressed the issue. This is the quote, Cossack. Ethel Waters, for example, was the result of a forcible rape, Huckabee said of the late American gospel singer. One-time presidential candidate Huckabee added, I used to work for James Robison back in the 1970s. He leads a large Christian organization. He himself was the result of a forcible rape. And, okay, notice, now that's, when you say it twice, it's not a mistake. Forcible rape, Cossack. Even though this is a profoundly disturbing moment in which people with their eyes open, which is probably far too few people in the first place, in which people with their eyes open can see that this is the reality of the whole Republican Party, there's a messaging opportunity. So they have gotten forcible rape into the national dialogue so that it'll become, as they hope, trite as brutal murder. You know, that's one of those things as a former journalism guy and a little bit of a wordsmith that drives me crazy. He was brutally murdered. Well, how the F else are you gonna, can you be murdered? Is there a non-brutal murder? I saw a posting over at Dr. John's blog, Digs and Docs, the other day, where he does this, he gave out this little better writing mini seminar blog post, and he referred to Mark Twain talking about how one's adverbs and adjectives should be one's thunder and lightning, and it should be used sparingly so that no one gets to where they can just sleep through the thunder and the lightning. Well, that's what's going on here. They hope to use forcible rape enough that we do sleep through it. And he uses it twice. Ethel Waters, for example, was the result of a forcible rape. And then James Robison himself was the result of a forcible rape. And so I know it happens, and yet even from those horrible, horrible tragedies of rape, which are inexcusable and indefensible, life has come, and sometimes, you know, those people are able to go do extraordinary things. So because James Robison is a poisonous, venomous, viperous, hate-filled, pus-bag preacher, we should make every, who has made a blue $1 billion lying to people and peddling hate, that we should use that as the excuse to make every rape victim who gets pregnant carry the rapist's baby to term. Because maybe he can grow up and preach hate for an entire lifetime and bilk people out of millions of dollars. Well, I tell you what, that's a compelling argument.
That's a compelling argument for abortion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, just so nobody forgets, there was a fetal personhood bill that was co-sponsored by Atkins and Ryan.
Yeah, they're the same animal, and that is why, among other reasons, that's why Willard Romney was out there, Cossack, saying, oh, I think it's time for Representative Aiken to leave the race. No, don't leave, Todd. You're a man of God with a vision, and we need to hear more about your vision. We had the audio there, Cossack. That dumb bastard thought the problem was with the word legitimate. The problem was that he thinks that the vagina has some sort of death ray of justice or something in it. Or I don't know, some sort of Ridley Scott alien discharge thing that just dissolves the rape sperm. Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the problem is, Bob, that these extreme lifers are trying to create a situation that, oh, well, in only those cases, you don't really get pregnant if it's a legitimate rape.
Right, and otherwise, what? And, yeah, and Huckabee's arguing there that, you know, God has a reason if he wants you to carry the rapist baby to term. Maybe it'll be Ethel Waters, or maybe it'll be James Robison.
Yeah.
And that's, and again, remember, Arkansas and Missouri share a common border. Huckabee's from Arkansas. That Faye Bozeman that we talked about last night, who called it, who said that rape victims don't get pregnant because of God's little protective shield, that's Arkansas. And then tonight we've got this Republican State Party member, the spokes creep woman, who says that God blesses the rape victims that he chooses to get pregnant.
Jesus. That was such a ridiculous statement.
We're in trouble. I mean, is when this, you know, when we pull all these things together and we realize that this is a theory, you know, that Kirk Cameron was out there defending Aiken. You know, I want him to stay in the race. Well, I want him to stay in for different reasons. But Kirk Cameron, former child boy star actor, wants him to stay in the race because he thinks he's right. And
yeah.
If Eve hadn't committed that original sin, you know, maybe all those women wouldn't be out there wanting the right to kill their own babies. God, we are in bad trouble, Cossack.
I don't know. I'm gobsmacked. Oh, and by the way, excellent kudos on the Zevon.
On the what?
On the Zevon.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, there was just something about Aiken and you know, he misspoke. He's an excitable boy, right?
Correct. He's just an excitable boy.
But I love that lyric because of what we ultimately find out about the excitable boy, right?
Yeah. They raped her and killed her and he took her home.
He's an excitable boy, they all said. Hey, Cossack, I'm glad you're okay. I don't think you're exactly feeling good, but it's good to hear from you, brother, and thanks for being patient with me.
Oh, no problem.
All right, have a good evening and get to feeling better quicker, okay?
All right, Bob, thank you. You take care and say hi to Agnes and the kids.
I sure will. We'll see you, Cossack. Have a good night.
All right, Bob.
Bye now. The Cossack calling from North Florida and onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Hey, Sandra.
Hey, so this latest public policy polling got that Atkins 44 and what's the other woman's name?
Oh, Claire McCaskill.
McCaskill at 43. So, I mean, you know, the guy is still leading in the polls, you know, which tells me that you know, things are so polarized that people, no matter what, will not change their position. You know what I mean?
Right. He's you know, there's fundamental flaws of Christianity involved. You know, he misspoke. He needs to ask Jesus to forgive him if he was really wrong, and we'll forgive him too. And we need a conservative Senate.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying. I just think that people, you know, once again, you can't. It's they don't care. You know. And that's, you know, the sort of, I mean, the people have to kind of distance themselves from it, like Mitt Romney, but it's all lies because that's them. That's who they are.
They, like you tweeted to me earlier today, they are who we thought they were.
No, listen, that just, like we said, that'll never get old. Ever.
Denny Green.
Oh, my God. But, no, and the thing that's really, like you, I think you mentioned it, or maybe you didn't, but they're using it as an opportunity to, you know, to change their definition of rape, you know, in favor of the rapist. And it's just like any opportunity, you know, with this, that article, that freak talking about forcible, what in the world? I mean, these terms, you know, never popped up until these re-thugs are trying to redefine something. And here we go, every opportunity. So now we have forcible rape in the lexicon? Are you kidding me?
Right. I mean, so imagine the harm that even that discussion is having, even as we speak, Sandra. Somewhere out there tonight, a woman will be raped. And rather than immediately just getting herself to the hospital, where she'll be probably charged for the rape kit, I might add, $500 or $600, she'll ask herself, instead of going straight to the emergency room, she'll ask, well, are they going to ask me if I was forced? I mean, did I really resist? What the hell does force mean, Sandra?
Well, what the hell does rape mean? You see what I mean? That is the word, you know, any augmentation of it is against the victim, no matter what.
Absolutely.
That's a given. So that's the problem with the whole framing. Yet, we're getting women coming to the support of that bullshit.
Dana Loesch, this woman in Missouri, and several others, as a matter of fact. We just haven't heard from Ann Coulter yet.
Well, no, but to me it just shows this is, once again, they don't care. They just want to get in power. And, you know, take note. This is how they operate. You know, while normal people are aghast at the situation, you know, although I did read that some of the funders are choking off money to his campaign, which may be the biggest problem for him, is the money being choked off. That's what you should pay attention, since this is what this system is now. It's just, who gets money? It's not really about ideas or anything of interest.
Well, so, tell me, where did this idea of a draft Ashcroft movement? What?
Oh yeah. I want to see him just like he get another rendition of the Eagle Soars or whatever the hell he sings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that guy, He wasn't he the one running against dead people? I mean, Missouri is too strange. Come on now.
Yeah, he lost to the dead guy.
Right, he lost to the dead guy.
That's how he wound up being the breast-covering attorney general who was terrified of calico cats.
Yeah, no, but they, you know, they scared the hell out of him. Remember when they jammed him up when he was in the hospital?
Oh, yeah.
Pokemona, man, that shit, that story gave me, that's one of the creepiest stories.
Oh, yeah, with Alberto Gonzalez standing there with like a crimp,
yeah,
with a crimp in the airline. We'll let you breathe in a minute, John.
No, I mean, just, yeah, anyway, yeah, John Ashcroft. I mean, I don't know if that's who they're going to try to slot in, but that's a horror show, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's just another nightmare vision. Because here's the fun part, he feels the same way.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the thing about,
there's not a normal Republican they could replace him with, because, Sandra, there's not a normal Republican. That's like saying a mammalian dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, in their platform, they just said, no abortion, no exceptions at all. That's in their platform. And, you know, Ryan is strangely silent, and we know this is everything he believes. That's the thing. That's why they're running away from it, because, he's so extreme.
Right, right. And you know, if you operate, as I'm sure campaigns do, understanding the for-profit media for what they are, and you assume that even a blind hog occasionally comes across an acorn, then there's always that worry that somebody is going to connect point A to point B and realize that Ryan and Aiken are peas in a pod.
Yeah, but I mean, I was also looking at some polling numbers suggesting that Ryan caused the smallest bump in the history of vice presidential picks. And their convention is when? Next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And there may
be,
and here's another fun part, there may be a tropical storm bearing down on them.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I know, but, you know, I just don't really think that Ryan is, maybe he shored up the base and that's all that Romney wants, but I still don't see him as a great pick.
Well, what's all this? Because I saw it, and I saw it emerge in two or three places today. I even heard about it on the way home on NPR. I don't know if they get up in the morning and read Charles Pierce and try to go from there or what. I saw that, you know, I saw the piece from Charles Pierce about the comparative Catholicism between Joe Biden and Paul Ryan, and what, I mean, is that why part of why Ryan was chosen? Because he's Roman Catholic and he can get the little the fetus protectors and snowflake freezers or snowflake thaws or what the hell ever they are, that he can get them worked up? Is it because of Romney's past history of choice support when governor of Massachusetts that needs some sort of hardcore Torquemada-esque inquisitorial 11th century Roman Catholic style candidate to sort of balance him off? Is that what it's all about, Sandra?
Well, maybe, because I assure you that company that Romney invested in that uses fertilized fetuses or whatever the hell, that story's going to pop up, and maybe he needs some sort of clever for that madness. I mean, the thing about Romney is that, you know, anything to cover his, you know, what he was originally running on was his business know-how. That all blew up in his face. And it's funny how the economy, you know, has 8.8% unemployment. I mean, Romney should be cruising through, but he ain't. So they turn to their tried and true God, guns, and gays, you know. So
right, because, well, they're done. If they don't get the sort of drooling, snake-handling, floor-rolling, strychnine-swigging, faithful of the hardcore anti-abortion movement out in droves, they're toast.
No, but in the meanwhile, though, did you get a chance? I didn't really hear all of yesterday, but did you get a chance to play that 30-second ad that I sent you?
No, I did not, but it just so happens I've got it sitting here.
Well, yeah, maybe you could, maybe you could run that one for a second.
Yeah, I got it right here. Stand by.
You watched and worried. Two wars, tax cuts for millionaires, debt piled up, and now we face a choice. Mitt Romney's plan? A new $250,000 tax cut for millionaires, increase military spending, adding trillions to the deficit, or President Obama's plan? A balanced approach, $4 trillion in deficit reduction. Millionaires pay a little more.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message because to cut the deficit, we need everyone to pay their fair share.
No, I need you to not talk about the fucking deficit. And I need for him to, you know, stop pushing his legacy, which is this grand bargain. Wake up, folks. Wake the hell up. Because what he's saying right there is that, well, Romney is pretty extreme, but, you know, I still want to cut $4 trillion, and the poor Social Security grandmother is going to lose benefits, but the millionaires will pay a little bit more? Where is the balance in that?
Ain't none.
And it's disgusting what he's trying to propose there. $4 trillion in cuts, folks, means programs for you. Because the millionaires are going to be, if they're taxed, it's going to be nothing to them. But Obama is saying that it has to be balanced by destroying the safety net. I mean, listen to the ad.
No, I get it. I get it completely. Well, I get it. I got it when I heard it last night. Jesus Christ, really? Because this.
I don't mean to shout. I'm just sort of, I'm so over what is being offered to us. We have Romney who will decimate the safety net, and we have Obama who will decimate the safety net.
Yeah, because is there anybody who thinks that that's $4.3 trillion of cuts that are going to come out of the military budget? Because I'm not buying.
No, so I mean, really, you know, to me, I just think, okay, when the Democrats have a winning thing to run on, which is the Ryan plan, they, of course, muddle the water with what Obama desperately wants in his legacy is to be the person to do a China, Nixon goes to China on the rest of the New Deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just.
Go back to running that one with Romney singing. That worked.
Yeah.
This, I mean, really, Sandra, and what it boils down to is none of these ads even so much as make it onto the interweb tubes without having 9 dozen focus groups say, oh, I like that one, but not the other one. And I like the word deficit, but not the word entitlement. Where are they getting the people that are buying into this ad, these ads, and making them think that America wants to talk about the deficit? Where's that coming from?
Well, no, it goes again to you know, I know it's old and it's boring coming from us. It's just the sloshing money in the system, because you talk to anyone, I don't care, most regular folks, they're not interested in the deficit. This is elite agenda-driven shit that's being paid for by, I'm sorry to say, Obama's paymasters, which are corporate and the rich. It has to be.
Yeah, see, I can't wait. I was talking with Boss Man Wayne earlier today, and he said, when is it? And I told him, you know, September 10th. I want to hear what the Cat Food Commission has in the way of hard truths to tell West Virginia, because this is a state that is one of the it's a small state population wise, but as a general percentage of per capita, we draw a lot of Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, because this is a busted down, broke up state. And so I want to know what Joe wants to come in and tell us about what's going to happen to us.
Well, no, I mean, we're not going to be told what's going to happen to us. It's all being cloaked in this mealy-mouthed shit that Obama's spewing with his millionaires pay a little more. I mean, the whole framing of it is just putrid. It's like, you know, he can't, and I don't mean, you know, and I know I'm always bashing Obama, but I mean, it's so disappointing I can't help it, because I'm in the meanwhile, I'm also thinking, black folks are going to be voting for this fool blinded, and he can't even come out and use some of his capital to discuss the attack on voting.
No.
It's just doing my head in. It's like,
no, see, they'd say he was a conspiracy theorist if he started talking about that.
No, it's just too much. And so, you know, the problem with black people just blindly supporting him without ever challenging is, what are you going to do when you have to face the devil again? Because Obama won't be there forever. And so if the black community is going to let themselves be rolled like this, no demand, well, the next person sure in the hell ain't going to come back to it. I mean, it's a big issue.
Right, and the next thing you know, if we're not already there, Sandra, I think what you've identified is what I call the organized labor syndrome. Who's organized labor going to vote for?
No,
you know, even after they've been called, what, retarded by Rahm Emanuel?
Right. It's the same sort of thing, but and it's just hideous, because traditionally the black politics has been, you know, in the forefront of that kind of stuff. And to see the election of the first black president completely dissipate that reality is way more disturbing to me than the history Obama's trying to make, because that is, in the future, you know, the black community is going to be fighting from a far more weakened position than what they had in my mother's day. I swear, and this is really disturbing.
I hear you. You're not the only one disturbed. I just had a note in from Onward to Dystopia saying Sandra needs to tell this to all the Obama bots out there. Now, I don't care for the phrase Obama bots. But there are some Obama right or wrong types out there, and I don't think we serve ourselves by simply saying, you know, whatever, simply because we know that I Want a Pony is not on the ballot in November, that therefore there shall be no criticism.
Well, no, but if you don't make any demand, you know, it's like, you know, and bless them, the gay community made demands on Obama, and they got something out of it. And even if he is deporting Latinos at this horrific rate, they also made some demands and got a little bit something out of it. Now, the black community is suffering under loss of wealth, double-digit unemployment, incarceration that's unimaginable. Now we're being attacked on a basic right to vote, and we have this symbol in the White House who can't even step to the podium and say, we need to preserve the hard-won voting rights. And it's just like, what the hell? And you're going to just vote for him without a thought.
Well, and again, not to just make this the total Todd Akin show, while we're all caught up in his dumbass rape comments, you know, there's a whole host of other stuff out there. You know, eliminate the school lunch program, and most importantly, the statement that we need to look at overturning or just getting rid of generally the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act.
Right.
I mean, is any And where's the pushback on that? You know, where's the statement from the White House that that's just crazier than batshit?
Well, it's not when they make sure they put all the judges in place. You know, look at Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I mean, understand that in Pennsylvania, the state isn't even ready to implement this law, and the judge said, oh, it's okay, go ahead. Do you understand? They can't even provide, if they wanted to, the ID for 750,000 people who need it. Yet the judge is saying, oh, no, we must let this law go forward.
Well, yeah, and see, you mentioned you didn't catch all the show last night. You probably didn't get to hear Juanita talking about her.
Oh, I heard that. I was just...
The voting odyssey?
Yeah, I hope that your person who stepped up to give her some guidance, I hope that's working out for her. It's just a horror show, that. I was like, oh, my God.
And, you know, that's I'm so proud that Juanita decided to share that story, but because it is one manifestation of something that is happening all over this country. You know, when you've got a Republican operative for Romney saying, well, yes, of course, I think in a close election, vote suppression works to Mitt's benefit. I mean, he said that, Sandra.
Well, no, you can go back to Paul Warrick, who said, you know, he doesn't want everyone to vote. Our party succeeds when less people vote. I mean, that's the godfather of their movement saying that. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Their agenda has been clear from the get-go, but it's just that they're implementing it while this white shoe asshole in the DOJ does nothing except okay the Virginia, I guess it's West Virginia ID law. They said it was okay. The DOJ the other day.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Although the one in Virginia, West Virginia, you can use different things for IDs, but they're codifying a poll tax, which I thought the 25th Amendment abolished, or 24th. I could be getting my amendments wrong.
But it happens to me all the time. So that's what Patty pointed out last night. If you have to spend a damn dime to jump through any of these hoops, then you have just been subjected to a poll tax.
Yeah, and this comes back, and this bounces back to why in the world would Obama not be doing this? Because it's his own self-preservation that's at stake. Yet there's still no movement on his part, which tells me that maybe it's the presidential bubble he's in or what, because it really don't make no sense that he hasn't directed every agency he has access to deal with this issue, because it's, controlling his destiny. I don't really understand the reticence, but maybe they're just dumb. I don't know.
God, that's a hell of a fallback position, you know? But no, I understand completely. I have to ask you, did you see the Corwin Brown story today?
No, what's this?
Okay, Corwin Brown, former NFL player, he's an assistant coach at, of course, Notre Dame.
What's the latest there?
Okay, so dude beat up his wife and held her hostage during a police standoff. Okay? This was a while back, but remember, he's a Notre Dame assistant coach, and this just plays. I saw the story earlier today, Sandra, and it was like, oh Jesus, you know, this was just made. This was made for the Republicans. He went into court today and he cried some, and he said, "I have a long way to go. It's disappointing I put you guys in this situation." Now these are charges of felony confinement and domestic battery. And he entered a plea of guilty, and I've never heard of this before, Sandra, guilty but mentally ill. And so today he got a 4-year suspended sentence.
Wait. Oh, so I see the Bradley Manning effect is just filtering on down, huh?
Yeah, he's... the killer... Not killer, but... The one that sent me running around the room was the quote from his wife, way down in the story. He said, when Cotter referred to Melissa Brown as the victim, she said, "I don't consider myself the victim." Now, he had firearms. Pardon?
What happened to her?
Well, you know, she was beat up and held hostage by her husband.
And so what is she then if she's not? Are we now redefining what a victim? Oh, yeah, we always are. Yeah, okay.
I mean, was this not forcible hostage taking? Do you see what I'm getting at? This is there any doubt? I mean, the prosecutor said, well, you know, in other circumstances, I would certainly ask for prison time. But since the victims said that they didn't think that would be in the best interest of the family, I didn't.
No, I thought that was the whole point of the movement to sort of see being battered as the state is supposed to take on the case because the victims are so often not willing to prosecute. Have we lost that now? Now we're back to, I don't even know what to say about that. That is so disturbing to me.
Another participant in the case, said, being back with his family is just as important as the counseling and the medication. So you beat your wife up, you held her hostage, you had a showdown standoff with the cops, who did not shoot you 46 times, unlike a more recent story, and you get a 4-year suspended sentence.
This
just sort of jumped out at me, Sandra, because you know there we are a few months ago. Paul Ryan and Todd Akin are pressing for this redefinition of rape as forcible inside the Violence Against Women Act. Wasn't even a rape statute, okay? It was the Violence Against Women Act. And it's part of a larger universe, and I got 3 daughters. They ain't safe.
Well, no, Bob, but they will be safe in right wing land world where the men, you know, run the corporation, they run the family, they run the small town you're in, and you would just take care of that, Bob. You're ahead of your family. You'd have to run that. I mean, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. The Ryan don't see women as even people. Let's be honest.
No, not at all.
They're not people. So when they're talking about getting government out of the way, all they're talking about is allowing men to rule the roost, so to speak, at all levels. In the private sphere, that's what their whole game is. That's what I think it is.
Well, it is, and I don't know how hard that is for people to get their heads around, but it is.
It's difficult, but to me, I think that's where it all stems from, you know, and, you know, the sort of vicious attack on women goes hand in hand with the dehumanization, of course. That has to be.
Yeah, but the cops didn't gun him down. I mean, the reason I said 46 times... You're familiar with this story out of Saginaw, Michigan, right?
Oh, yeah, there's that. Don't forget that man. You're having a nice little walk in Times Square, and the police shooting some dude with a knife 30 times. You heard about that one, too, right?
Really? A different 30-round shooting?
Yeah, this is some other person they say don't happen very often, but, you know, the police gunning down some dude in Times Square. I mean, it's real out of control. But I know the 46 times, that story is not getting nearly the press.
No, here's a guy who is known to be mentally ill. Yes, he had a knife, and the cops brought dogs. And the man said, I don't care. Let the MFing dog go.
And
then the next thing you know, 46 rounds, Sandra. At something approaching point-blank can't-miss range. I mean, didn't we go through this with Amadou Diallo?
Well, if it's somebody of color...
Right, and this guy was.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of, you know, what people of color have to face. I mean, I don't even know. Is there any repercussions behind that?
Oh, no, the police chief said... Well, he was known to be a mentally ill person, and we stand behind our officers.
Yeah, of course, but this man is dead. That's funny how that's never really mentioned in these discussions. Well, you know, did you hear about these two Louisiana deputies that were killed?
Oh, yeah.
And then people are linked to, wait for it, the sovereign citizen movement, and they're trying to conflate that with anarchists. People need to get it straight. Those sovereign citizen people, that's more white extremists.
Right. That's not a bunch of anarchist kids turning over mailboxes and putting rocks through windows, which is not in any way. I'm not endorsing that. But there's a big damn difference. I mean, these people want to print their own money. Yeah.
Yeah, but that, you know, but these are you know, they're white people, and no one's saying, oh, a white terrorist group has taken out some cops. Now, if they were brown, wow.
Okay. No, and you know, this was a situation in Louisiana where they chased the suspect. They went to the door in the trailer park, and semi-automatic weapons fire came through the door. But they were sovereign citizens. They were they're white nationalists, is what they are. They're Klansmen without the pillowcases.
We have to talk in quiet rooms about that too.
Yeah, quiet rooms.
But
by God, if it was a couple of persons of color, Sandra, Fox News would be on fire. The new Black Panther Party guns down police while listening to Cop Killer, right?
No, it's true. Anyway.
It's all part of a set piece, I guess. You're familiar with this billboard in Elkhart, Indiana, I trust?
Oh, no, I missed that, too. What's that?
It's a photograph of Navy SEALs, you know, with their camo and their guns and their boonie hats and their camo makeup on their faces, and it uses that military stencil lettering. And it says, and it's a billboard. I mean, it's out there up on the side of the road and everything. The SEALs removed one threat to America. Remove the other in November.
Oh, right. So that's oh my God. So that's, I don't even know. Then, but they'll remove that. They'll freak out about that billboard or that man hanging and that one is saying, "Thank you, Wall Street." Remember how much play that got?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you know, a horror show. Oh, God, is that billboard still up?
Oh, yes.
What you're talking about?
Oh, yeah, because that's freedom of speech. Now, when does this, and I guess, Sandra, this is just, I don't know, maybe this is just intellectualizing, but when does this become incitement? When does a newsletter coming out from the Virginia Republican Party saying that if we don't beat, if Romney doesn't win in November, then it's time for armed revolution? When does any of this become incitement? When does this reach the level, with a terrified white population, armed to the teeth, vibrating like a strut tuning fork? When does this rise to the level of yelling fire in a crowded theater? When, Sandra? Is it what you said? Is it what you said last week when black folks do it?
Well, I mean, I a part of me just thinks that, like I said, you know, don't come out and celebrate the second inauguration. I mean, you know, I just think the some of these white folks, their heads are going to explode if Barack Hussein Obama is there for 8 whole years. Good Lord.
I'm getting frightened.
I know. I mean, I was kind of being facetious, but yeah, no, it is a bit.
I mean, they're already going nuts, and he hasn't even done anything to them.
Well, that's the thing. The symbol is potent for all concerned. That's all I can say about that. I mean, oh, listen, I'll let you go, but have you noticed that the Lohman Company, now they're talking about, well, we won't fire you yet. Yeah, those people said they ain't going back to work. And the ultimatum, you gonna gun down all them people, you trying to say we're gonna fire you. F you. I hope they stay strong.
I did notice that, and they said, And the you know, the government stepped in and said, you will go back to work.
Well, the government, I don't know. I'm not too sure how that's going to work out. Because, I don't know what the percentage turned up, but apparently, they're losing money hand over fist at this point, aren't they?
You would hope so, but I don't know. There's a coal mine strike or a plant strike or something, middle management goes in and actually has to work for a change. Do these platinum mines have any any people who can go down there and operate drills? Because I don't think it breaks out that way, does it?
No, that's the problem. I mean, the most radical of the miners are, by the way, the people they need the most.
Yeah, the drill operators.
As far as the division of labor goes, so that whole politics is really convoluted because of the position of the if you can even digest this, the company friendly union and the rogue union and the ANC, which has members from the union in government now, and the corporation that's getting all sorts of breaks, and then you have the impoverished South Africans in the middle there. So it's a really complicated story, but it ain't that complicated when you withhold your labor. See, that's the simplicity of it at this point.
But the ANC
has a lot to answer for, though.
And yet their youth wing is not playing with the grown-ups. I did notice that.
It's a story just to kind of keep an eye on and to keep bringing it up, because this is like just went from neoliberal to neo-feudal just like that.
Or proto-fascist, perhaps.
I'm just saying. I mean, it is a snapshot of what's happening or what will be happening, because they don't want to work for, like you said, $2. They want $6, and they're willing to kill these people because of that. It's so disturbing.
Jesus. And we know what the spot price was of platinum a few nights ago, $1,400 an ounce. I'd love to see production numbers on what it means to how much ore has to come out of the ground to yield that ounce of platinum.
Well, I mean, I keep forgetting, but I'll send you, it's like an 8-minute video on Tiny Rollins, who was the CEO of the parent corporation back in Abado days. That company was so bad that the British government disavowed them in public. I mean, it's a horror show, the mine, the owners of that mine, from the horrible days of apartheid, Cecil Rhodes, the whole nine yards. It goes back that far. And, they're just a bad company, They did some reforms, and here we are back to they are who we thought they were. Anyway,
I think we can build a shorthand around that. Just yell Denny once in a while.
Oh my God!
Exactly. By the way, you got a toaster nomination tonight from Isaac. He said White Shoe Asshole in the DOJ is a classic from Sandra. I must steal this one.
Oh no, please. I'm so sick of Holder talking about a monumental disappointment. God. Wow.
But now we understand a little better though. Because I don't remember the dates of any of these programs or anything, but I remember going on for an hour about the whole Chiquita Banana thing and the sweetheart deal that he crafted as defense counsel. Because remember, when George Bush came in, he left the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ, having been a career lawyer, moved over to a silk stocking D.C. law firm, and became corporate counsel to Chiquita Banana, and worked out a sweetheart deal where Chiquita Banana pleaded guilty to murder for hire.
Yeah, we're talking murder here. This is death squad type shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And as a result of Eric Holder's labors, remember Abraham Lincoln said a lawyer's time and advice are his stock in trade. Well, I guess he got paid well. because not a one of these Chiquita board members, all of whom knew about the murder-for-hire plan, ever so much as got within 1,000 yards of an orange jumpsuit.
But he'll spend all sorts of time with the marijuana, though.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, that's the demon's weed.
You know, but yeah. Anyway, he's a horror show, and don't ever forget, he was the one at I don't know what unfortunate law school saying that due process isn't judicial process.
It's the process you're due.
No, due is what we're gonna do to you. That is what that translates to me. Okay, and I've been extra scared of him ever since he gave that speech to justify their Tuesday kill list meeting. You know, Obama. So, you know, he's a bad, bad dude. That's all. I Holder is a nightmare. And, yeah.
And just, you know, hang on to what you got because you're going to have less of it when, you know, once the, yeah, because we've got to reduce that deficit, right?
All of it is just, it's all doing my head in. I just want to quickly ask, the whole football thing is heating up. And tell me. Now, we know the football is just a billion, multi-billion dollar operation, yet they're quite happy to let these bozos officiate because they don't want to cough up a few dollars again? Will they ever learn?
I think the quick answer is no.
I mean, it's crazy. It's like, wait a minute. They don't, you know, the calling is going to be appalling. I know that rhymed. I didn't mean it to rhyme. But
it did, it did nicely, yes.
It's horrible what the officiating is going to be like because they can't what? Pay somebody again? I don't know. I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm just stunned. I'm like, oh, my God. You know what? You got to break a union. You couldn't break the players' union, so we're going to break this one.
Jesus Christ. You're right. I mean, because I remember, we think, oh, we've got instant replay now, and that makes it ever so much more difficult. Oh. Bullshit.
No,
you remember when the officials blew the coin toss a few years back?
Right.
Jesus. Oh, and by the way, I just got this in from Jude. You're going to love this before you go because it'll at least, you know, you'll hang up screaming, Sandra. Brian J. Fisher, the radio jerk from the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi.
Oh, God.
The guy who jumped out to the full-throated defense of Todd Akin yesterday before anybody else did. This is the guy who wanted all the grizzly bears killed for Jesus. I mean, don't ask. It's just crazy. Well, he has now declared that Todd Akin is a victim of forcible assault.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Wow, I don't even know what to say about that. That's just ridiculous.
Well, but look again, it's what you said. It's what I said, Sandra. They've gotten the word forcible into the public consciousness. So that now, unless it's somebody you love who's been left bleeding behind a dumpster, then we'll have, you know, was it forcible? When that is not in any rape statute.
Okay, so, yeah, but the whole forcible, so is it Chad Johnson, was it a forcible headbutt? I mean, there is no end to how you can apply this now.
Mm-mm. Absolutely.
But, you know, the rape culture is such that this just fits right in with it to me.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does, absolutely.
It's too much. Nothing about Tim Tebow?
I've got my radar set for long distance. So far, no.
I mean, because I heard that both him and
they're both taking snaps and
they're both horrible.
Yeah, well,
I mean that was the gist of it. But I said don't be maligning Sanchez. That's eye candy.
Yeah, we know you've got a Mark Sanchez problem, Sandra.
You didn't see that Vogue spread when that dude was running on the beach. I was like, damn. Anyway, I shouldn't say that because he's a bit of a slime ball sleeping with hedge fund daughters who barely are 18, so he's a bit nasty.
Yeah, but it's only going to get weirder now that Ryan has because you know if you're the second or third string quarterback, isn't it typical that you even in August camp you don't take that many snaps?
Well, yeah, but he's going to be their starter though, right?
And no, but I'm talking about Tebow. Working Tebow in so that they're both taking snaps.
Oh, I thought he was going to be on special teams at the end of the day.
I thought I read that he was getting some QB time in too.
Oh God! Well, it sounds like the New York Jets. I'm sorry, they're masquerading as a mess. I can't wait to see that circus.
And it's not that far away.
No, it's not. Okay, listen. Have a good evening.
See you, Sandra.
Bye.
Bye now. Yeah, lest you think, and I know you generally don't, but lest you think I'm just making this up. It won't take long. This is Brian J. Fisher. At Brian J. Fisher on Twitter.
Dennis Prager wants him out. Charles Krauthammer wants him out. Hugh Hewitt wants him out. Ann Coulter wants him out. The National Review Editorial Board wants him out. The Wall Street Journal Editorial Board wants him out. The Tea Party Express wants him out. So virtually nobody other than the Family Research Council and yours truly, even Rush apparently now is out saying that he ought to step aside.
Rush is
so
out.
Everybody is gang tackling.
He had to struggle for that one. He was a micro breath. There were individual atoms between him. But he doesn't care. He's going to get his paycheck if he just makes grunty animal noises behind the microphone. You know, they got spaceship money at the American Family Association. But listen to the teensy, tiny little pause between gang and tackled.
Todd Akin, now you talk about a forcible situation. You talk about
Wait. Get back there.
Church Council. And yours truly, even Rush, apparently now, is out saying that he ought to step aside. So everybody is gang tackling.
Just long enough for his strychnine swigging, floor rolling, tongue speaking, serpent handling audience to say, raping, gang raping, that's right, Todd Akin is being gang raped for Jesus.
Akin, now you talk about a forcible situation. You talk about
forcible. How many more times can that be injected into the dialogue?
Somebody being a victim of kind of forcible assault, that would be Todd Akin.
Really, and thanks to both Jude and Right Wing Watch for bringing that to our attention. Forcible, he's a victim of forcible assault. Sweet Jesus. I guess, and you've got to be in some strange or unpleasant circumstances, horrifying circumstances, to even be involved in a situation where someone is trying to deal with a rape. And of course, we know the numbers of American women. And they're just shocking numbers of American women who at some point in their lives have been or will be subjected to rape. And here is this sick prick saying that what Todd Akin is going through is the same as a woman being subjected to the ultimate violation of her body. God damn him! It's enough to make me want to believe in a God just to spend the rest of my days praying that Brian J. Fisher would be damned. That Brian J. Fisher instead is simply going to go and cash the next check. And then look for the next crazy, hate-filled thing that he can say in the name of Jesus. Because even if he screws up, Jesus will forgive him. Right? Michael writing in, he says, if Aiken is a victim of forcible assault, doesn't his body have a way of dealing with the political repercussions? Can't he just shut all the criticism down with God's little shield, protective shield? And if by chance that doesn't work and his political career is ruined, isn't that a gift from God? Can't he just make some lemonade from the gang tackle? Michael says, seems pretty effing legit to me. Andy writing in under the heading AG Eric Holder. Mr. Bob, Chiquita executions of union organizers in Guatemala, that's peanuts. How about BP? 9 dead there. How about the Massey Upper Big Branch? What, 23 dead? It don't matter to this corporate freak, A.G. Eric Holder. To A.G. Eric Holder, the death of a working man means nothing when a corporate board is at stake and his future as an enforcer for the top 1% is on the line. Forget it. The corporations in the U.S. can continue to get away with murder, literally, without any repercussions from the DOJ. Truth, Andy, truth. It was Andy who brought up the Standard Chartered story and the pissant, pusillanimous, next-to-nothing fine they were subjected to. Lo and behold, a lawyer in their legal division was found suicided, I think, in England. But they issued a hasty statement saying, well, we don't know why he decided to off himself, but he certainly had nothing to do with the ongoing investigation of us dummying up Iranian accounts to keep from actually the Iranians having to pay the people that they, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Jenny writes in, she says, I think that why women and girls don't get pregnant from real rape is because rapists can ejaculate without sperm. A doctor told me that. Jesus, Jenny, I hope you're kidding. What? What, David in Maine? This just in, Newsweek Tumblr changes their cursor to a coat hanger to mock women? Oh, my God. He's not kidding. He's not kidding. Newsweek Tumblr changes cursor to coat hanger to mock women. Can anybody figure out how I can do this show from another country? Would it be cheaper somewhere? Is the internet at least reliable? God almighty. Let's get back to the phones before I get off on a filibobster. Hey, welcome to the program.
What's going on, Bob?
What do you say, Spike?
I say America is depraved and there's just no hope.
Don't you kind of miss Hunter Thompson in moments like this?
Yeah, I kind of do. I've got a little reverb myself here. I certainly can only imagine what he would have to say about the latest debacle.
Well, your use of the phrase depraved sort of, yeah, spoke to me.
Yeah, well, this would be right up his alley, this sort of just deviant mindset of some of the GOP at this point. You know, I just want to say too, as a criminal justice major, the only thing we were taught about rape with forcible and statutory is simply, statutory is just where it might be consensual but they're underage, otherwise all rape is forcible, period. So this whole trying to come up with a definition of forcible with the Paul Ryan and this guy is, these two are pretty laughable considering, yeah, if it's not statutory, then it's forcible. There's no other versions afterwards. But in the same, as Grant kind of pointed out about my apparent expertise in the kinky, extreme kinkiness of right-wingers. You know, in the BDSM world, there's a lot around, that revolves around, like, rape fantasies. And kind of coincidentally, there's a lot of conservatives in the BDSM world. So, you know, I guess the, a lot of that might be right up the alley of some of these people here. You know, a lot of it's called consensual, non-consensual. But you know what it's really playing into. So, you know, I guess that's a base at this point to go after. You know, you want to lock up the rapist vote. I don't know. I thought felons really could vote anyway.
What I said last night, Spike, the rapist empathizer vote. Because I think Republicans recognize that there's a little bit of rapist in all of them.
Yeah, well, I also love the God's will defense to all these heinous crimes. You know, some famous people, was it Mike Huckabee said there were some important people who were born as
James Robinson and Ethel Waters and, right.
Right, and then Zimmerman, his defense to killing Trayvon Martin was, well, that was God's will. See, you just commit a heinous act and say, it was God's will. You know, it goes back to Colin.
And that's a step toward the theocracy for which they all desperately yearn, Spike.
Yeah, well, suicide bombers for Bin Laden was God's will in their view, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, and that brings me to something that that Ron wrote in from Raleigh a little bit ago, and this just fits in perfectly. He said, could someone just patiently and kindly explain to me, hang on, I gotta find, there it is. Could you please explain to me the hostility of right-wing Christian Republicans to Sharia law when their positions fall so closely in line with the tenets of Sharia? Is it just because the followers of Islam are a mite too swarthy for their tastes? And my answer, Spike, and my answer to Ron would be no. It is that the fundamentalist Christians yearning for theocracy know that they are, I mean, they sense that Islam, to a certain extent, or one extent or another, is working the same side of the street as they are. And so they've got, they've got dibs on the theocracy of North America.
It's like a primary campaign.
Well, yeah, it is. Oh, Jesus, no, yeah. Except for what's going on here is a little bit of Freudian transference insofar as in order to keep America from seeing the theocratic urges that are latent inside the Christian supremacist movement, what they're doing is they're transferring all the things that they actually want to do onto the Muslim population so as to demonize them while going about their filthy business.
Yeah, and looking to get it for themselves. Yeah, well, these people who say, you know, they vote Christian, or this country was founded as a Christian nation. There's nothing more laughable, historically inaccurate, than that claim alone, considering how many of our founding fathers were deists. They weren't Christian at all. And even those that were, unlike the far, 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 far out there Southern Baptists who, since the 80s, have decided that they want to overtake do away with the First Amendment or make these wild claims that there was never a separation of church and state. You know, that's what Liberty University brainwashes all their pupils to believe in. And meanwhile, in all actuality, it was quite the contrary. Even the few founding fathers who might have been actual Christians didn't want government involved in religion and vice versa. Because it would become just like how the British monarchy was operating. But of course, you know, a silly little thing called facts always get in the way of a good story. So, never follow them. I'm all for it. If anyone wants to have their religion, go for it. But I prefer not to live in a religious theological state. For a simple reason, I see how things work in Iran, and I see how things work in Israel, and they seem pretty screwed up. So I'd kind of like to take a pass on that.
Yeah, you and me both, Spike.
Yes, kind of stick to the separation of the two.
Well, I'm not kidding. You know, I've got my Learn German Quick and Easily discs, and I was kindly provided with a very famous, expensive Learn German program as well. And I'm learning.
You get You getting ready to make the move to the?
Nah, I'm kidding. I couldn't make the move to the next county. Sometime 3 decades from now, I might have saved up enough nickels to. But it doesn't mean I don't wish I could. I mean, Scott in Sweden tells me that I'm 6 hours ahead of him, so. I'm a night creature anyway. All I'd have to do is start the program at midnight and go to 3 a.m. and bang, we're golden, right?
Yeah. There you go.
And I'm still in the same slot.
But I'm shocked you're not wealthy, man. You're from West Virginia. That's where one of the wealthiest senators in America lives.
Oh, well, that's you're making mistakes, Spike. My name is Kincaid, not Rockefeller.
Oh, not Rockefeller.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's also not Manchin, because he's not exactly eating boiled peanuts and grinding up the shells for coffee.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if he made the top 50 list of the 50 wealthiest people in the capital that came out recently. I was actually shocked with that little list of 50 wealthiest members of the House and the Senate that, you know, these names, obviously, you expect to see John Kerry, you expect to see Daryl Issa. Not surprised to see Mike Kelly, who's a Republican from Western Pennsylvania, who inherited his father's car dealerships, which one of them happened to be a Chevy Cadillac dealer. I mean, well, I think the guy was against bailouts.
Naturally.
But I was actually shocked not to see the name Toomey on that list. The Toomeys were worth a lot of money, so he must be doing a really good job of hiding his wealth somewhere.
And just to sort of confirm and reaffirm my sense of decency in the universe, what's left of it, Bernie Sanders was not on the list either, was he?
No, Bernie Sanders obviously was not on the list. There were some people who it's not a surprise not to see him on the list. I don't believe Dennis Kucinich was on the list. It's just certain people that didn't make the list. Bob Casey also didn't make the list, which is no surprise because they're not begging for milk money, the Casey family, but in the same, most of them have really spent their entire careers in the public sector one way or another, often in elected office, so you can only really be worth so much with a career like that. No Bernie Sanders, of course not, because that would mean he's working with special interests. Although my future, let's hope future member of Congress could potentially end up on that list if he gets elected, because he's a trial lawyer, but that's because he sues insurance companies and doctors who do terrible things, like tell someone they have cancer and start chemotherapy and they never had cancer. Things like that, although I suspect, as it will turn out, even though he seems very wealthy for this area, compared to the people on this list, he'll look like a pauper. I mean, I had to laugh when they said Paul Ryan didn't make the list. He was only worth $2.2 million. Only worth $2.2 million. Didn't make the top
10. I don't think they were counting family connections, were they?
Probably not. Just his own wealth. Even though, coincidentally, I'm sure John Kerry's wealth is also combined in his wife's wealth. For that matter, I don't even think they list McCain on there, and we know his wife's worth quite a bit. Not that I'm surprised, but I am slightly surprised Olympia Snow made the list. Only because, I mean this not as a rip of people in Maine, but I'm just surprised they are people that wealthy in Maine. Because, I mean, you think
I'm going to get a call from David in Maine.
I don't mean that. I mean, just, you know, considering what people, for the most part, are worth in that state, it's almost surprising that. I mean, because, you know, in West Virginia, we know the residents of West Virginia aren't worth much, but they coal, so there's a 1% few really raking in the dough on that. I'm not really sure how someone could. Other than maybe the lobster business, I can't think of something off the top of my head.
Oh, I don't know. I think there's a little timber business going on in Maine, isn't there?
Oh, that might make a little bit of money. Yeah, I guess. Not as much, though, as coal, though, I'm sure. But, yeah, I guess that could make a little bit of money as well. But, I have to laugh. I don't laugh, actually. It's not funny, but. You know, I mentioned Olympia Snow, and there was that bill, I can't remember the name of it, a few years ago, it went before the Senate, that the Republicans had voted for almost exclusively, where it was kind of the marginalizing rape victims.
The Violence Against Women Act.
And Snow was basically the only Republican who didn't go in line with them with that. And she's no bleeding heart liberal by any means.
Oh, no, no, no. That whole myth of, oh, Olympia Snow is a moderate Republican. Horse feathers. She voted with Bush so many times that you know, when he yawned, you could see her smiling face.
Yeah, but that was one of the few times she actually did put her foot down and said, I don't think so. And that was kind of a bill that she somewhat also later pointed to, claiming that, you know, it's become too partisan, which is kind of funny in many ways that she said that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's one thing when you play up things for your primary base, when you're trying to get the most fanatical of a certain party or group or whatever social clique you were talking about to want to like you or something like that. But when they continue the rhetoric into a general election discussion, I certainly hope they're setting themselves up for failure. I'll be very disappointed if this country is now suddenly becoming a pro-rape nation with some of this stuff of late.
It's certainly a pro-rape party.
I also might add, you know, just a few days ago, before all this hit the fan, how they were jumping all over that thing Biden said.
Chains. He said chains in Virginia. What was he? Oh, he's racially insensitive.
Yeah, I mean, too stupid to be president was what Rudy Giuliani and his lisp said. You know, I wonder if there's someone even dumber than that who said something far worse than what Joe Biden might say. Now, granted, Joe Biden has a bad habit of opening his mouth maybe before he thinks things through. Sometimes it works out for the better.
No, Joe's just a hard scrabble, no bullshit guy.
Yeah, well, he's a Philly sports fan, so it kind of works with the personality right there.
Ah, come on. Give Philly a break.
Well, people in Philly are pretty honest with you. If they like you, they like you. If they don't, you're going to know it. Andy Reid, I'm sure, will learn quick enough how it was tired of him. You laugh now, but if that team does terrible this year, fans will start probably... I wouldn't be shocked to hear fans chanting his dead son's name to really taunt him.
Yeah, but we're not going to hear any dream team comments. I mean, that has remained fairly quiet this preseason, hasn't it?
The only dream you can have with Andy Reid in charge of a team is a nightmare, especially if you're talking about clock management at a Super Bowl. I don't understand how Andy Reid is still a coach. And especially now with his son's death, you would have thought good sense would have told him it's time to step down.
Yeah, to step back.
Yeah, but it didn't. He's still there. He thinks, you know, everything's back to normal again.
Well, who's gonna start under center for the Eagles?
Who knows?
Really? It's that up in the air?
I haven't really paid attention. They're not going anywhere this year. You know, and even the team I did follow, they're not going anywhere this year either.
The Dolphins?
I'm at the point now, it's kind of like, I'm almost like done with, I don't know if I'm done with the NFL or if I'm just going to sit back and wait for the Mormon to finally leave the helmet.
Well, you know, if you want something to get interested in, Spike, the Mountaineers are playing their first season in the Big 12 this year, and that could be right interesting.
The only real college team I follow is Lafayette College. I follow small school football more. But I was thinking of maybe rooting for the Raiders this year. Things can only go up now that Al Davis is dead. Not doing crazy old man things.
Things can go up now that Al Davis is down.
Yeah, well, things can only go up now with Al Davis being gone. At the end, it was... When people get close to the end, they do weird, crazy things. You know, before my father died, apparently he threw a lot of our flatware away for whatever reason, which after he died, I finally one day questioned my mother, like, where are all the forks? You know, and the only thing we could come to the conclusion is for whatever reason, he threw a bunch of them out. So just imagine that kind of mindset running an NFL franchise, and it makes really irrational decisions like Jamarcus Russell getting a huge contract. Yeah, that's only something someone who's losing.
Why do I laugh at the mention of the Jamarcus Russell draft? I think there was an onion piece about him a few years ago.
just when people think nothing could top Todd Maranovich, you get a guy who's a codeine addict on a football team. He's becoming morbidly obese as a quarterback. I mean, I don't think the NFL served quarterbacks so fat since like the 1930s. When forward pass
leatherheads.
Yeah, I mean, maybe since the forward pass has come into play, there's not too many fat quarterbacks in NFL history.
Yeah, just put just put Sebastian Janikowski back there and have
the whole team built around a place kicker. I guess if you play fantasy football, he's like one of the best guys to draft because you know you always get points from him.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully that'll come to an end, but they'll get points elsewhere. But and I got to mention the most overhyped quarterback, and maybe the most overhyped player since the Boz in the bench warmer for the Jets this season, Tim Tebow.
Oh, I just got a I got to share this with you. I just got the most hilarious screen cap from Jack in Shreveport. Warren Sapp on Tebow on Morning Joe.
Yeah.
You're aware of this?
I heard it secondhand. Yeah, I was just going to mention. Yeah.
The thing about it is Tebow has the least amount of skills for the most scrutinized position on the football field, and they moved up Sanchez, but Tebow's got magic. Well, can you explain to people quick? We got Tebow. Stephen H. Smith trashes Tebow every day. You think he should be cut? No, I don't. I go with Mark Sanchez. Tebow has the least amount of skills, but we love the guy. He's a wonderful guy. There's nothing wrong with him, the man, but Tim Tebow, the quarterback, leaves something to be desired.
Yeah. Oh, God, he was the worst-rated quarterback last year. His style of football would fit in the 1920s when you just ran the ball all the time. And one thing that really irks me is I've heard a few people try to make comparisons with Randall Cunningham. Randall Cunningham, first of all, was a better runner anyways than Tim Tebow. And most importantly, Randall Cunningham had one hell of an arm. The only reason for many years in the Eagles he didn't have all those great passing yards like he did when he was on the Vikings, they had no receivers for him.
Well, you've got to be able to throw the ball to somebody.
Right. I mean, you know, in reality, when he was on
Ryan made
it an all-defense team, and the only offense they had was Randall.
You mentioned the Raiders and Al Davis and him doing crazy things. I think that when Al Davis died, didn't The Onion have a piece saying Al Davis mourned by a core of receivers who cannot catch footballs?
Probably.
Yeah. Hey, Spike, I got a roll, brother. I got a bunch of them stacked here, but it's good to hear from you. Don't be such a stranger, all right?
Well, when I'm not too busy, I will try to make a.
I know. You're a busy man. You are indeed.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right. See you, Spike. Bye now. And continuing onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's Grant from Portland.
Hey, Grant. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to follow up and see if you had a chance to chew on that text I sent your way.
I did. I read on it some over the weekend. And it. Well, you know what happens when you start fooling around with the internet, right, Grant? I start out trying to sort out a legal question, and I wind up somewhere in the ninth century Byzantium.
Okay.
But no, I am processing it. The whole thing with the NDAA is. It's a conundrum. It's a mess. And, you know, the thing that I got out of it is that there's not so much in there that I don't expect from the national security state, which is why I keep trying to tell people, you know, this is an empire, and empires behave like empires, and they behave like empires, whether it's the judicial system, the legislative, or the executive, because it's all administrative. I've done some more reading, and hopefully jump in early in the program, and we will try to delve into it a little bit deeper. Okay.
Sure. I had missed Monday's show. I didn't know if you covered it already.
No. I mean, come on. Todd Akin has sucked all the oxygen out of the talk radio universe. Okay. I'm sitting in here gasping for breath.
Okay.
But that's basically what's happened. Yeah.
All right. Hey, as a sort of a second note, you know, as I was listening to Sandra's call and the others, I'd like to put a shout out to sort of the psychiatric professionals within the Horman family. See, I think we really need some fairly expert help in basically naming the demons of stochastic programming, manipulation, and targeting. You know, when it comes to, you know, the delegitimization of populations, when it comes to, you know, this kind of targeting and these kinds of tools, we really, I think, need help in naming the demon and making those tools ineffective.
I think you're right, Grant, and that's why, while I'm no psychiatric or psychological expert, I don't think I'm any kind of an expert, actually, but that's why I've been sitting here for two nights talking about the fact that, lo and behold, it's odious, this whole Todd Akin business. It's disgusting, it's slimy, it's creepy. But looky, the right wing who wants to change the definition of violence against women has suddenly put forcible into the discussion.
Right, it's like a big stochastic megaphone.
Yes, it absolutely is. It's all.
And look how it leaks into sports, for fuck's sake. I mean, sports. Come on.
Yeah.
The political goes all the way through the full spectrum of their messaging machine.
Yeah.
You know, to do that little visceral brain programming. So and you know they're going to harvest that later for effect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think it's important. I mean, when it comes to the bystander, and even some of the victims that have succumbed to the programming, I think it's time that psychiatric professionals smarten up the chump. You know, it's the cardinal sin, but you have to. You have to name demon or...
Well, we're not chumps. But understanding how it works, I think, is vitally important. And, of course, that goes hand in hand with some of the, you know, some of the stuff that Adam was saying when he hosted last night's challenge for funding. Is that the right wing has enough money to burn a whole herd of sopping wet elephants and do it with $100 bills, okay? Meanwhile, we putter along, not just this show, but I don't know any progressive broadcasters who aren't in a money crunch, with the exception of two or three, but I don't know them. I know several others, and everybody's struggling. And they, you know, that's why they're able to get these messages out there. Brian J. Fisher, who just said in audio that I played on this program, who just said that what is happening to Todd Akin is the same thing as a woman getting raped. That guy's just going to cash his check, and he cashes his check every week.
Yep.
So, you know, that's not me complaining about fundraising. That's just the damn reality that we deal with, Grant.
Tell me about it. There's a lot of times now I wish I had better income.
But
it's like everybody I know who's not sold out to a consent factory or something else, they're all broke.
Yeah.
You know, we're literally doing this on milk money, you know.
Yeah, believe me. I mean, the early on we poured our family fortune into this, and that just didn't last long.
Mm.
And, you know, you can find the day that ends with the day that we start fundraising, because it was either that or turn out the lights. And, you know, are any of the big liberal think tanks out there helping? Because, you know, we're talking about the think tanks that literally have millions of dollars to deal with, and $1,000 a month would make a difference. Well, they're not there. They're not there. They're just not there. Hey, Grant, I got to roll, brother.
All right, man. Cheers.
Later. Bye now. Let's try to work one more in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, I'll make it quick. Are you familiar with the Sandusky prosecutor that turned up missing his laptop?
Yes, I am.
Okay. The other thing is, I wanted to say that what a coincidence that Chiquita Bananas and the white shoes all go back to Central America, the CIA, and now Bain Capital and Mitt Romney.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you have a talent for this, Mark.
I don't know. That's the Marine in me. But we're able to clean things up in a hurry. I also would just like to say that the Confederate statue in front of the Marion County Courthouse, when George Bush stole the election, I spray-painted Abraham Lincoln over the word Confederate. Underneath that, in larger letters, I spray-painted the letters MLK. And under that, I spray-painted JFK. I got arrested, and I asked the Cuban-American judge, I said, ma'am, had the Confederacy prevailed in the American Civil War, would you be here today? When she asked me, I've had something to say. No hatred towards anyone, but I knew that...
Yeah, no. The Confederacy had plans to actually invade Cuba. Got to get out of here, Mark. We're 30 seconds from Rick Smith. Yeah. Take care. Bye now. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. We got to get out of here in a hurry because we tried to wedge as much conversation in as humanly possible. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and AICACT.org. And always, always.